That's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's nice to have the whole family up there. It does a nice job. Nice job. I did want to say one thing, and I'm running a little late here on our speaker. On the back of our bulletin, we have all but $590,000 and another little bit more than $90,000 that's going to be doubled, that will be maxed. So that brings up to $680,000 already this week. That means there's a really good chance we'll hit the 700,000 mark next week. I'm just thrilled. You just pray about what God would have you do. I don't beg for a lot of money, but you pray about what God would have you do, and that's going to be a wonderful thing. It's good this evening to have Brother Joel Deku with us, and let me think here. Now, we also support his brother Scott, and you're in the one in Kiribati.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got it right. Okay, good. We met him about the same time and all so forth. And I love the story how he and his wife came about and kind of felt the call of the ministry to Kiribati. I won't steal it. If you decide to tell, that's fine. But it's a wonderful thing. I believe, listen, God speaks to hearts. And don't push doors open. But sometimes God just opens it wide open, says, here it is, go and do it. And it was just a sweet, sweet thing. And you know, when you know you're in the middle of God's will, even when crazy things happen, yes. And when with your kids, all those kind of things, those things are difficult. You know, you start doing things and it starts impacting your children. You think, okay, did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? But the best place to be is in the middle of God's will. And I appreciate him being here. You share what's in your heart. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be back. I think it's been...
There's a new water underneath there for you.
All right. Thank you. Amen. It's great to be back. I believe it was 7 years ago that we were here. And praise the Lord. It was just my wife back then. And now we have three. Amen. And that happens pretty fast, doesn't it? But praise the Lord. I apologize. I wish they're here tonight. And truly, she's my better half. And she makes me look good. So I need to work hard tonight. Amen. To look better. But no... my wife, and then we have three children, and Daniel, our adopted son, who it's been a three-year journey to get his adoption and then his immigrant visa to come, and we were able to get that just 3 weeks ago when we arrived on American soil, but he broke his arm the week before that in Fiji as we were coming home, and they operated on it there in Fiji and set it. And then casted it. We got back here, and after a couple weeks of getting referrals and finally getting to an orthopedic doctor, they said, it's still at a 30-degree angle. That's not right. And so they said, we need to put him back into surgery. So it was a last-minute thing. Friday, he went in again, and this time they put pins and all the good stuff and casted it again. So you pray for his healing. 6 weeks, he'll have the cast on, but that's why they're not here tonight. And also my youngest son, we came back in May thinking it'll be warm, and you all know it's not been warm yet, amen? Last Sunday, we were on our way to church, and it was snowing, and so anyhow, our kids are just not used to the climate yet either, as you might imagine. We are missionaries in the country of Kiribati, and I'm pronouncing it right. The T-I is an S in their language, Kiribati. We are located in the Central Pacific. If you know where Hawaii and Australia is, we're right in the middle on the equator, pretty far from anywhere. And so we're thankful for what God has done in a very short time. And our presentation will explain a little bit more about the things the Lord has been doing the last 6 years. And so I won't take anything away from that if we can show that at this time. And then I'll get back up and share a little bit more. Thank you.
Land of the sun and sea. Located on the equator just west of the international dateline, the Republic of Kiribati is one of the first places on Earth to see the rising sun. Kiribati includes 33 coral atolls which dot the equatorial Pacific. Although their combined landmass is only 300 square miles, these islands are spread out over an area of ocean the size of the United States. The population is 105,000 people. Surrounded by the vast Pacific Ocean, these tiny islands see a constant 12 hours of daylight each day of the year. It could be said that Curbas is one of the brightest places on Earth. However, spiritual darkness has blinded the people. Alcoholism is rampant on our shores. Local toddy made from the sap of coconut trees, fermented, and sold as alcohol. Other alcohol is imported and sold with no restrictions. The young people of Curbas become addicted as young as 12 and 13 years old. Alcoholism is also the cause of much crime. Domestic abuse in Curbas ranks the highest in all the Pacific. Suicide rates in the islands are among the highest in the world. Ancient superstitions and black magic cause many to live in fear. Where is the light in this dark place? Though organized religion can be found here, it only adds more darkness to an already blinded people. The Roman Catholic Church boasts to be the largest church in Curbas. The second largest is the United Church. Other religions include Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and the Baha'i Faith. All of these religions teach a works-based salvation. They need to hear the good news of faith in Christ to deliver them out of the darkness and into the light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 proclaims, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ."
We are the Deku family. God has led us to carry the light of the gospel to the equatorial Pacific, specifically placing on our hearts the nation of Curbas. Just a few months before leaving for the field, God blessed us with a beautiful daughter, Adeline Noel. In February of 2010, our family left America to begin the work God had called us to do in Curbas. We first traveled to the Fiji Islands, where we assisted in several ministries. We enjoyed laboring there while waiting and working to obtain visas to enter Curbas. Since we were the first Baptist missionaries to Curbas, we faced difficulties and delays in obtaining visas. After 2 years of ministry in Fiji, God miraculously opened the door and we were granted missionary visas. During those 2 years in Fiji, we met a little boy, Daniel, who was part of Curbas. Almost immediately, Daniel had a special place in our hearts. On December 2, 2013, Daniel was officially adopted and became Daniel Deku, our son. We are blessed to have him as a part of our family. We arrived on Taro in February 2012, along with the Snyder family. The island of Southern Taro is the capital of Curbas, and God placed a burden on our hearts for that place and those people. The island is only 7 square miles, but is home to more than 50,000 people. It was our desire to see God begin a work here in the capital that will one day spread out to the outer islands. So we began the task of meeting people, learning the language, and settling in. We began holding Bible studies in our home with a family we first met while living in Fiji. However, just 2 months after our arrival, God allowed us to face several medical issues, causing us to return to Fiji and eventually the United States for treatment. During that medical furlough, Brooke, who was expecting our second son, was involved in a vehicle pedestrian accident that put her and the baby in danger. This was a very trying and uncertain time for our family, but God gave the victory, and praise the Lord, Bennett Wesley was born healthy and Brooke's health quickly returned after his birth. During our absence from Curbas, the Snyder family continued holding Bible studies in our home. We are grateful for their faithful labor. They are presently in the process of moving to the remote part of Northern Tarawa, where they plan to begin a new work. In March of 2013, we returned to Curbas as a family of five, excited to continue in the work God had called us to. Upon our return, we continued having home Bible studies and reconnecting with those we had met before. As we faithfully shared the light of the world, we started seeing people saved. When our home was no longer large enough, one of our families offered their maniaba for our services. In November of 2013, Tarawa Baptist Church was officially chartered. 20 adult members signed the charter. Our people were excited to finally be part of a local church. Praise the Lord. This church now stands as a lighthouse in this dark world. In the past 2 years, God has used Tarawa Baptist Church to shine His light in these islands through weekly services, ladies' meetings, men's meetings, youth, and kids' clubs. We have also seen God's light shine through our members as they have reached their own families with the gospel. God continues to add to Tarawa Baptist Church as souls come to Christ, follow the Lord in baptism, and join together to spread His light to others. As Tarawa Baptist Church grows, we are praying for a permanent location. Being located on an island with a landmass of 7 square miles and a population of 50,000 creates land issues. The demand for land is great, and the prices are high. Please join us in praying for God to provide property for Tarawa Baptist Church. Brother Jerry Smith and his wife Denise are involved in international missionary helps. Please pray for them as they lead the precious people of Tarawa Baptist Church in our absence. Also join us in praying for the Kiribati Bible Project. For the last several years, we have worked alongside some of our members on the meticulous job of retyping the Kiribati Bible for printing. Please pray for us as we near the completion of the New Testament. Upon our return to Kiribati, our goals are to continue the work of evangelism, discipleship, and training nationals to continue the work. Thank you to the many of you who have served the Lord and partnered together with us as missionaries. Please continue to pray for the work of Tarawa Baptist Church and for our family as we continue to spread the light of Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Forgive me, I feel uncomfortable tonight because I'm not barefooted and wearing my sulu. That's the one question I get asked a lot from this presentation is, are you wearing a skirt? And it's not a skirt, amen? It's called a sulu. And it's a garment which the men over there wear. It would be equivalent to you wearing a suit here in the States. And they respect that as a garment for a man. And so if you want to talk about it later, I'm secure in my manhood, and praise God, amen. But I feel a little awkward wearing a suit coat and pants and shoes, but praise the Lord, God will help me through it. We are just starting the furlough trail. We'll be here until January, so you please pray for us. We have a very full schedule. Because of the last furlough being a medical furlough, we weren't able to get to our churches. And so this time we're pretty busy, and so you pray for us as we travel, and we try to be a blessing and reporting to our churches. But God has been faithful, amen. God has been faithful. God has been so good to us in what He's done. I'll be honest, Kiribati is not an easy place. It has many trials, and honestly, just living is hard. Finding food and different things, but God has takes care of us, amen. He truly does. He provides for us. I don't have time to share all the testimonies. But God, you know, always takes care of us and meets our needs and takes better care of us than what we deserve. And you just continue to pray for us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, to the Lord first, and then to us as your missionaries. And God has truly done a great thing, and we believe he has a great work in the future there in Kiribati. Historically, we're the first Baptist church ever and in this nation. And to see people coming to the gospel and to see people, to see God changing their lives, that's what it's all about, amen? And it does my heart good to come back and to hear what God's doing here, amen? A lot of times you just think missionaries want to come back and report what God's done there in the field. But it does my heart, you encourage me tonight to hear of the outreach and how you're still standing on the Word of God and doing what the Word of God says, amen? And that's a blessing. It truly is. Honestly, sometimes when we come back to our supporting churches, that's not always the case. And so thank you for your blessing to us. And let us serve the Lord together. Amen. And let us be faithful, to be found faithful of the Lord. And so that's our report. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions later about Kiribati if you have any. And please know that I'll be back at my table. Take a prayer card, amen? They're free. You don't even have to pay for them. We like free things, amen? And as long as you don't throw darts at them and you use them to pray for us, and we truly would appreciate your prayers. Take your Bibles with me tonight, if you will, though, and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. Ione makoro awi. You know, my mind wants to go to a Kiribati, so forgive me if I start speaking in another language. I'm not speaking in tongues, amen? It's just habit. But John chapter 20, and we're going to find our text tonight here in the book of John chapter 20, verse 19 to verse 22. Before we read that, though, let us go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Let us pray. Our great Father in heaven, we thank you again tonight for the opportunity we have to come together as your family. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your family. We know that's only been made possible through Jesus Christ. We thank you for our salvation and for the hope of eternity which we have, and for the gospel, and Lord, how that the gospel is for the whole world, and that we are a part of that work of sharing the good news with people that need to hear it. Lord, we're just thankful for this time. I pray that you just speak to our hearts. Lord, give me the words to say, and may your Spirit teach us from the Bible that we might grow, that we might do more for you, and that we might be found faithful when you come again. I pray, Lord, remember to give you all the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we read this, I'd like to remind you, and I know this is a repetition, but we know that there's five key verses that are mentioned time and time again when we refer to the Great Commission. And no doubt you know these by heart, but in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, and then Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, we find also a verse in reference to the Great Commission that Christ gave to his disciples and ultimately to the church. And also in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we find the Lord giving his commission again, or his command to the disciples. And this is what the church is about. This is the job of the church, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, amen, and to share with people. And this is not just on the foreign mission field. I appreciate what you said today, Pastor. This is for all of us, amen. This is across the street. This is around the corner, in another town, and in another state, in another country, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ shared. That's our job. That's our commission that the Lord left with us. And praise God, he did all the hard work. Amen? Right. Yeah, it's done. There's nothing else I have to do. Amen? It's finished. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary for everyone that will come, for whosoever will. And praise the Lord, we get to have the opportunity to be a part of taking that message to people who need it. Amen. Are you glad tonight that you're saved?
Amen.
Are you glad tonight that you have salvation? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have something. And we have something that is more valuable and more precious than anything in this world. Amen. It's more precious than bank accounts. It's more precious than anything. It's the salvation of our souls through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this great commission that He's given to us is the greatest thing that anyone can be involved in. Amen. It's the greatest thing that any one of us can have a part in. Just the awesome privilege of being a part of sharing the gospel with somebody who is without. And that's what I thank God for as a Christian. And I'll tell you, something that I've learned in the past 6 years of ministry on the mission field is that it's not about us, amen? It's about Him. It's not about our ability. Well, I tell you, you go to a country where they don't speak your language and you try to learn that language and try to share with them, you'll learn real quick it's not about you, amen? Honestly, you learn real quick and you get up on a Sunday and boy, you know, you preach in front of 1,000 people and then you go and preach to just 5 or 10 people in a different language and it's nerve-wracking, amen? But I tell you, the Lord is good. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you know that in context of that verse, it has to do with missions work? Amen. It does, in the context of that, Philippians 4, it's about the work of missions and reaching the world. That was what the Apostle Paul shared. We can do all things through Christ. And here tonight, I'd like to take the context of John chapter 20 and verse 21. This is one of the famous verses in relation to the Great Commission. And let's read verse 19 to verse 22 to get the context of this verse. If you'll follow along as I read, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I'd like for you to look with me in verse 19, where we find this statement that it says, "Came Jesus and stood in the midst." I like the title of the message tonight, "Jesus in the Midst." Yeah. Jesus in the midst. What does this word mean, midst? It simply means in the middle or in the center of something. And we find here the story of the disciples as this took place on the day of the Lord's resurrection. Amen. It says there that on the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, these disciples were behind closed doors, hiding from fear of the Jews, hiding because they're afraid of their lives, afraid of what might happen to them. They just saw their Lord crucified and they didn't want the same thing to happen to them. They were afraid. Afraid of their life and of themselves. And we see here that what happened was Jesus came and stood in their midst, stood in the center of them. We find this word many a times throughout the Bible. I just want to remind you of a few instances. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 22, we find the Lord. He says, "I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Deuteronomy 23, 14, reminding the nation of Israel, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee." Are you glad tonight that the Lord is with us? Amen. It says in Jeremiah 14, 9, "Thou, O Lord, are in the midst of us." I'll tell you what's a comfort to me, and it's something I remind my church there in Kiribati almost every Sunday. In Matthew 18, 20, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Amen. I'll tell you, when you start a church in a foreign mission field and it's the first time there, many a times it's just two or three. Amen. You start off with just very few. And we've had those days. And to remind yourself that no matter if there's only a few of us, He's still there with us. Amen. Do you realize that the Lord is with us tonight? He's in our midst. He's in our midst. He's in the center of this place, and he dwells with us. And we need to remember this great truth, Jesus in the midst. I believe this is the key to success as a Christian. Amen? This is the key to success as of living the Christian life, but not only to the living the Christian life, but also the key to success for our families. Amen? Is Christ the center of our homes? Is Christ have that place of being, having the preeminence? Not only that, but also does he have the place of being the center of our churches? Amen? If he's the center of our church, we'll do what's right. Amen? If he has that place and that position of being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then we will stay on the right path, because when Jesus is in the midst, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus in the midst. You see here that with these disciples, they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were afraid. And before we start judging them and condemning them, every one of us has fears. Amen? Oh, different kinds of fears. Some of you are afraid of flying. Some of you are afraid of food. Amen? I'm not afraid of food. You can see that. Amen? Some people are afraid of driving. People are afraid of heights. You know, there's all kinds of fears in the world which we live. People are afraid to go sleep at night nowadays. People are afraid they lock their doors and shut everything up. There's fear in this world, isn't there? Fear of sharing the gospel with people. Fear of what people might think of us. People today are criticizing and persecuting us. In Kiribati, we've had great persecution. Catholicism is a huge part of the nation there. We live just 20 yards from a huge Catholic church. And in our little village there, the most of them are Catholic. We've had the priest try to get our landowner to evict us out of where we live. He said, "I'm going to excommunicate you if you don't kick them out of that house." Praise the Lord. God gave us victory. Amen. We started a Bible club with kids. And in the beginning, that's usually all you have when you start a ministry. And kids were coming and loving to learn about the Bible and teaching them Bible stories and sharing with them the gospel. And then all of a sudden, nobody showed up. Couldn't understand why. Pretty soon, somebody told us that the Catholic priest of the village had threatened any family that went to our Bible club with excommunication. And so we lost all those kids. Praise the Lord, a lot of them have started coming back again, bit by bit. One of the families there in our presentation, every one of those families at the end of our presentation are our church family, someone that we've worked with. I don't know if you remember the lady with the glasses on her head surrounded by lots of children. And this lady just lives a few hundred yards from our house, right behind that Catholic church. And our house is right there too. And her husband committed suicide about 20 feet from my bedroom window. He hanged himself from a coconut tree. Left her with six kids, all by herself. And you know what? It was horrible to just see how they treated her. And we just showed her the love of Christ, amen? Took her some bags of rice and some flour and just offered that we'd help her in any way that we could. And over a period of time, months and months of just being a blessing to them. And then her children started coming to church. And then she came to church, amen? And praise the Lord, she got saved. And then her children began to come, and they got saved. And what happened was the Catholic priest of that village began to start accusing her of things and telling all the people of the village that it was her fault that her husband killed herself. And just all this persecution. And I'll tell you what, in the world which we live, there's persecution. Amen? It takes different shapes and sizes depending on where you live, but at times we can allow those things to cause us to live in fear. Or, as we're commanded in the Bible, we should live by faith. Amen? The opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of living in fear of what man will do to me is, it doesn't matter what man will do to me, because my faith and my trust is in the Lord. Amen? That's unbelievable. You leave America for 3 or 4 years, you come back, there's a lot of changes here. I'm in culture shock. Unbelievable. I hear about all this stuff going on in our government and in schools, and it's just unbelievable. I know you all see it, and you're even amazed, and you live here, amen? I'll tell you what, we're going to see some persecution, aren't we? Are we going to live in fear, or are we going to live in faith? Are we going to live the way that the world wants us to live in fear of them? Or are we going to stand up on the word of God and in the power of God and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, amen? Jesus is salvation. See, if Jesus is in the midst, that's the key that is here that the disciples had to learn at this point, is that if they put Jesus in their life and follow him, what did he say to those disciples? Many of them were fishermen. Many of them were tax collectors. He said, follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Praise the Lord for what Christ has done in their life, but he wants to do the same thing in our life. Jesus in the midst. There's three things tonight I'd like you to understand, that if we'll just put Christ in the position he deserves, these things will come about in our life. The first thing we see in this story is that if Jesus is in the midst, it will make us peaceful. It says here that came Jesus in verse 19 and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. See, they were in fear. They were afraid of what was going to happen to them. But you know what? Jesus said, peace. It's okay. They were probably afraid of even seeing him because they saw him die. Amen. Yeah. Even though he told them he'd rise again, they still were unbelief. I said, wow. And you see, he said, peace be unto you. And then in verse number 21, he says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. I tell you what, I can't even begin to explain to you the peace of God. Amen. I tell people, I can't explain to you the peace of God. It can only be experienced. Amen. And many of you here tonight have experienced the peace of God in your life when you came to Christ and you accepted his gift of salvation and he came into your life and he gave you peace. Like he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praise God for his peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. I tell you what, on the mission field, there's been times where things have just gone crazy. There's been times when things have happened to us, and it's just like, what in the world is going on, Lord? But you know what? God's peace can come over your heart in just a moment. Amen. Many of you saw the accident where my wife was involved in a pedestrian car accident. It's unbelievable. Many of you won't even believe me, but an older gentleman in reverse, across another road, came almost 50 yards in reverse across the road, hit our van. And my wife wasn't even in it. She was walking to get into our van. And he hit the back of our van, and my father-in-law was there with my wife, and he told her, run. And she's 7 months pregnant. That's impossible, amen? So she turns around, and she tries to move as fast as she can away from that van. That man hit the back of our van, pushed it almost 10 yards, and in that process of that, hit her from behind and rolled her under the front of our vehicle. They called me. I wasn't there. My father-in-law, he was weeping. He said, Joel, get here as soon as you can. And I ran down there. It was about a 10-minute drive. And you know what? As I began to make that 10-minute, it should have taken 15, but I did it in 10. Amen. But as I took that drive, I tell you, fear came over my heart. I'll be honest with you. I'm just a human, amen? And there's my wife with our child inside of her, and I just thought, oh, Lord, please. And I began to cry unto the Lord and ask him for his help, and you can't even understand how the peace of God just came over me. I tell people, it can't be explained. It can only be experienced, amen? And as we got there and I came upon the scene, it was such a mess and nobody knew what had happened. And there my wife was on a stretcher getting put into an ambulance and they told me to jump in with them. And as they were doing that, they're telling me the whole story and I'm just in unbelief of the whole thing. Praise the Lord, God took care of us, amen. Each hour by hour, we had to go from one hospital to the next hospital, but through it all, God's peace was there with us. Actually, one of the hospital workers came to me and said, what's wrong with you? He says, what's wrong with you? And at the Vanderbilt Hospital there, they have somebody that takes care of the family and keeps them out of there because a lot of them are pretty hysterical, apparently, when something like that happens. And the lady says, man, my job is easy today. She says, what's wrong with you? I said, I can't explain it. I just know God's going to take care of us. And she was a Christian, too. And I think she understood a little bit what I was saying. Amen. Are you thankful for the peace of God? Let me tell you something. You'll never serve the Lord and do what he wants you to do till you find peace. Amen?
Yeah.
Till you get over yourself, until you get over your fears and you say, it doesn't matter what comes in this world, I know God's taking care of me. Amen? These disciples had to learn that lesson, just like we need to do today. Don't worry about where the money's going to come from. Don't worry about what's going to, all the different things. Just trust the Lord, amen? He'll take care of us. Peace. He'll bring peace into our life. Not only that, but second of all, Jesus in the midst will make us useful. Jesus will make us useful. We find here in verse number 21, the Bible says, verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Let me tell you something. You got to get a picture of Christ each day. Amen. Oh, how we forget him, don't we? Huh? Oh, how we forget what he did for us on the cross. We do. We get so busy and caught up in the busyness of life and everything that's going on, and we forget what he's done for us. Well, may the Lord help us to remember him each day. Remember the sacrifice which he made for us on the cross. And when we do that, when these disciples realized it was Christ, when they saw the hands in his side and they realized it was the Lord who had made such great sacrifice on the cross, they rejoiced, amen? I love this church. You guys have a rejoicing spirit, amen?
Amen.
It did my heart good tonight. Hear you guys singing and smiling, amen? We got something to have joy about tonight, amen? We have something the world is all complaining and grumbling about everything, but we've got something they don't have. We have the joy of Christ, the joy of our salvation. And when we get to that place in our life where we remember him and when we give our lives to him, one of the verses that many of you know, and it's such a blessing to me, is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. And that's what God wants from every one of us, to give him that place to say, Jesus, you be in the midst of my life. You take control of my life. You be the center of my life. Everything that I do, I want to do for you. And that verse is saying we ought to give our lives as a living sacrifice to him. But you know what I found out in verse number 3 is the reason why most of us don't is the Bible says you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Oh, may God help us to die to ourselves and to put him in the rightful place. Amen. Why so many people won't make him the Lord of their life is because they're just too caught up in their own things. I heard it once said that it's kind of like that movie, Finding Nemo. We're all like the little pelicans. You know what I'm talking about? Or the seagulls, sorry, the seagulls. And we're all too busy going, mine, 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 mine. Am I right? Huh? We're all too busy going, mine, 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 mine. It's all about me. It's all about what I need. It's about what I want to have. I need to have this. I need to take care of myself. It's about how I feel, and it's about me being successful, and it's all about me when it needs to be all about him. Amen? We will never be useful to the Lord until we put him in that place. To say, Jesus, you be in the midst of my life. You be in the center of my life. Lord, take my life and use me. D.L. Moody once said, the world has yet to see what God will do through one man totally surrendered to him. Oh, may God make us more like that. Amen. To be useful, to be found useful. We ought to love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And here he reminds the disciples. He says, as my Father hath sent me. God sent his only begotten Son from heaven. He came down to this earth. He humbled himself and he became a man. And he died for the sins of the world. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Amen. Oh, that's something we need to always remember, isn't it? We need to remember the love of God that sent Christ to this earth for us. And then let it motivate us to then go and do the same for others. He reminded them of the great task that they had before them. But you know what's so comforting tonight? And that's the last thing. He didn't just tell them what to do and say, okay, now go do it. But then he enabled them to do it. See, when Jesus is in the midst, it'll make us powerful. Like I mentioned so many times on the mission field, there's times when it's just like, Lord, I can't do this. I can't even speak their language. And it just seems like from every side, people are against us. And There's superstitions, and there's all these things that are just everywhere, all around you. And it's a culture you don't understand, and it's a people that you're trying to reach, but they don't want to be reached. And it's just like, Lord! But I tell you what, God's power is great, amen? There's a lady on the presentation tonight, and her name is Tawia. Oh, 2008, we took our survey trip there to Kiribati, and we met this lady. If there was ever a cynical lady, this was her. She actually told us to our face, she said, you'll never make it here. Everyone who comes to this country never stays. They always leave. It's too hard of a place to live. She told us that. Praise the Lord. She's saved tonight. Amen. And I don't have time to tell you the whole testimony, but with tears, she ran after my wife one night and said, I need to get saved. Amen. And in my office there in Kiribati, I have her picture of me baptizing her, and on the top of it, with God, all things are possible. Amen? I'll tell you what, I would have said that would have been the last person that will ever get saved in Kiribati. And God, she's saved tonight, amen? She's brought her friends and she's brought her family. And where we're meeting right now is her place. That's her home, amen? And I think, wow, again, the power of God, amen? Not by my power. What does God say? He uses the base things, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why? So that no flesh should glory, but that he might receive all the glory. Oh, we have yet to see the power of God in our life because we won't give him that place in our life. Amen? We're too busy doing what we need to do and what's important to us when we need to be doing what he wants us to do. Amen? And when we find that place, when these disciples, and if you understand the story of what took place after this and after the resurrection and on the day of Pentecost when Christ came, And the Holy Spirit filled those men and they began to preach the gospel with power and with authority and people came, thousands of people came and were saved. That's the power of God, amen? And too many Christians are sitting in the pew saying, I can't do anything for the Lord, and you're exactly right, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We forget that it's not by our ability or our strength, it's by His power and by His might. Oh, may God help us to realize that we can do things for Him if we just get out of the way and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Oh, the Lord is powerful, amen. He breathed on them, the Bible says, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Who lives inside of us tonight? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen. And by Him we can do all things. One last illustration and then I'll be done tonight. I have a glove here tonight. And we all know what a glove is, right? But tonight, let's say with this glove is our lives. Your life, my life. And here the glove is, and I tell the glove, glove, I want you to pick up my Bible. Hurry up. We're waiting on you. Can that glove pick up my Bible? Okay, well, let's tell him how to do it. Maybe he doesn't know how to do it, so we'll explain it to him. Take your thumb and your fingers and squeeze together and lift up the Bible. He now knows how to do it. Okay, hurry up and do it. Can that glove do that? No. Young people, can that glove pick up my Bible? No. What has to happen in order for my glove to pick up the Bible? Put my hand in the glove. These guys are smart, amen? You're a lot smarter than some of these adults. They were going to say something else. I can see it. But when you put your hand in the glove, then the glove is able to do what it needs to do, amen? Able to pick up the Bible. And you know what? That's so true of our lives, isn't it? We try to do the work of the Lord in our own strength. We'll always fail. We'll always fail. There's no way. There's no way around it, amen? Because what man does never lasts. He told his disciples over and over again, with man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In the work of missions, it takes all of us working together. Amen? Oh, yeah. God may have not called you to a foreign mission field, but I can't go to the foreign mission field without you. You understand that? It's a team effort. It's a work. Just like here in your church, Pastor Walsh can't do it all by himself. But you know what? The only way it's going to get done is as each of us allow God to be first in our life, to fill us, to use us, to get out of the way, to say, Lord, I'm not my own, I'm yours. And as he takes that place in our life, and as we give him that place and we allow him to work through us, then he's able to do great things. Oh, may God help us, all of us, to give him more of what he really deserves. The Bible says it's our reasonable service. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus. No one's ever loved me like him. I've seen the power of God change people's lives that I thought was, and there's no hope. Families. I could take hours giving praise to the Lord for families where the husband used to be an alcoholic. God saved him and changed his life. Amen. People that were lost and dying and going to a place called hell. A real place. Amen. Now, the joy of the Lord is in their heart because they know where they're going. That's the power of God. You know what? Every one of us needs to experience that power. And we can if we'll just let him fill our lives. If we'll let him control our lives. If we'll trust in him and allow him to use us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this story that we find in the Bible about the disciples. Lord, I pray you'd make us more like Christ. As you have sent Jesus, even so you've sent us. And I pray that you might be glorified in our lives. Help me, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me to rid myself of my pride and my selfishness and to allow you to work through me. Help each of us, Lord, to make that commitment. Help our families to put you as the head of our homes. May this church always make you the Lord and the King of Kings of this place, so that we might be used in a greater way for you, that we might see you bless us and guide us and empower us to see great things done, that you might receive all the glory. Lord, we thank you. Praise your name for all you've done and for what you promised to do. Work in our hearts now, we pray. Make us more like you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bow and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.